Hey, good afternoon. This is Brian Beckman.
Hello, hello, hello.
And this is Eric Meyer, and we're here today to explain to you about all about databases and why your mouse is a database.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. I never thought of it that way.
Yes. So, but Brian, let's first look at what is a database.
Okay.
And what today is we're going to do some science experiments.
Yes.
We're doing some hardware. So we have
tools everywhere. Yeah. So I have no idea what you have in mind, but this is going to be interesting.
But what is a database? A database is a container of data.
There's a container of data?
There's a container of data.
It must be a database.
A database. And
but now I've heard that databases have acid in them. Let's atomicity, consistency, isolation, durability, acid.
Acid. I know acid.
But they have only acid in them?
Yeah, I think so. But I know acid kind of in slightly different. It's dangerous. So why don't we kind of put on our kind of safety goggles? Brian always has a safety goggle.
Now the Niners will know why I have these stupid glasses on my hat all the time.
And I got these from my last trip. You know, I got them from the TSA.
Because I hang around
TSA.
Eric,
you know.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Yes.
Let's see if there's data
in this database, and of course, you know, maybe.
Well, we're going to see if there's acid and in data, but I want to see the data. This is a database. I want to see the data.
Okay,
show me the data.
All right, there we go. Gloves.
We're ready.
We're ready.
Check.
Okay, now let's open up this thing and let's see what's in there. Always put the screws that you can kind of close it back. And of course, kids, don't try this at home. First, make a backup.
Yes.
Always make a backup. Okay. Oh, look at the acid.
There's the acid.
Ooh, that looks nasty.
It does look.
Does it?
Oh, no. Careful.
Not bad.
Oh, no. The monsters of the id. They could be coming out from behind the curtains.
Oh, do I get the primary key now? Look at this. Do you see the acid, guys? That's what makes databases run. There's acid,
and
it makes it all kind of spin smoothly, and you know.
So it's the acid that keeps everything safe and keeps it isolated. Okay.
Exactly.
But now these little drops—that must be the data.
Look at that. There's data.
Data is showing up on the disk drive.
On the disk drive.
And it's being put there by acid. Okay, we understand.
Okay,
everything.
We understand databases now.
Now, okay. If we had more time, I'd make you show me the primary keys, but.
Then we need like a microscope because we can see a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, they're the perfectly round ones. Okay. But now you claim that your mouse is a database also.
Yes, but let's first look a little bit more at this database.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
So this database is a pool-based database because you see these boards here?
Yes.
So here, you know, you kind of suck the data out of there and then, you know, that makes this little thing spin.
And that's why you were drinking it, because you're sucking the acid out of there, you're sucking the data out of there.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
So this is a pool-based model.
Pool-based model, got it.
Pool-based model. So that's kind of, you know, that's a traditional database, pool-based model. That's a kind of container of data.
Got it.
Now, let's look at the mouse. Why is the mouse a database? There's like a nice tail.
Yeah, nice
when
tail.
When you move the mouse or you click on the buttons, out here comes the data.
Stuff comes out of it. So there, no matter what you do with this guy, it always produces the same data when you pull on it.
Exactly.
But it doesn't produce
acid,
anything until
because of acid, if you kind of wiggle it very hard, you know, nothing goes wrong.
Yeah. But you have to ask it for data.
You have to ask it for data. This one doesn't even ask it. Just shouts. It's like a little child that shouts
at you. Like a little transmitter.
Yes. Yeah. So whenever you move, you know, it will click and data comes out of this port.
But there has to be data in there.
There has to be data in there.
But there are no screws.
There's no screws. So
what are you going to do? How are you going to show me the data?
You want to? I open this one.
I don't know, Eric. I might not be as good at this as you are.
Well, let's try. Wow. It's good hardware. Microsoft hardware.
Ooh, Microsoft quality. Ooh, we're getting to the data.
Yep. Do we see data?
Almost. One more. One more and we'll see data.
Okay. 3, 4. Oh, wow.
That was more than one.
There we go.
There's the data.
There's the data there.
Can you put some acid in it?
But this one is not acid because only the data comes pushed out of
there's
it.
There's no consistency.
Yes.
There's no isolation. There's certainly no durability.
So maybe we need a few more. Let me kind of,
Ooh.
There we go.
Ooh, yeah.
There we go.
Now we can really see the data.
It is like we get a workout.
Yeah.
That was a lot of data.
There's tons of data in here. Look at this.
Yes.
This little light produces data.
Yep.
Where is it?
Where's the light here?
There it is.
There's the data.
There's the data.
And look at. Ooh, I even hurt myself. Okay, but there's the data. Comes from here.
Yeah.
Goes through the wire.
And comes shouting out the back.
Comes shouting out.
So now if I did this, then every time you move this light on the table,
the
this
data
guy would record it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, very good.
Exactly. So now we know everything about databases, about the hardware. Now, shall we talk a little bit about the math behind all this?
Yeah, let's do.
Okay. Because, oh.
Uh-oh.
These were really kind of high quality gloves.
Must have come from one of our competitors.
Yes. Well, or maybe it's the acid that's kind of, you know, like burning the gloves.
Burning through the gloves, even
look
there.
At this, yeah. All right, so let's talk about some math. And this,
Shall we clean up first or?
Let's clean
just go
later.
Straight. Okay, we'll clean
because
up.
Because maybe, you know, it's like there, maybe we can rescue. There's like nice little hardware
pieces.
There's
nice little things too, yeah.
All right. Good.
So here we go.
So. Now, what we've seen here is two different kind of databases.
Right.
We had the kind of traditional pull-based database and the push-based database.
Yes.
So now these things, when we always like to talk about, these things are dual because you kind of feel that, you know, push and pull are kind of, you know, things that go in opposite directions.
Right.
But still, there's a similarity because both of them are containers of data.
Yes.
So we want to be able to do queries over both
pull-based and push-based. Okay.
So now I hear you talk so often about monads.
Yes.
So what do monads have to do with?
Well, a monad is just a container. It's an abstraction for a container. And we've already shown that both of these are containers.
So both of these are monads?
Both of these are monads. They will support the monad operators and the monad laws.
Okay. So this was a monad transformer that we did here.
We transformed it into the garbage monad.
Yeah.
A garbage can is a monad? Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, so that we have a whiteboard there. So let's draw up the kind of, you know, the signatures for the monadic operator.
Okay.
And then we can kind of, you know, talk a little bit more about, there's glass here.
One of the monadic operators is, I'm just going to do this more or less abstractly, but it's return.
Okay.
And return is a critter where if you give it a value, it will put the value in the monad for you, like that.
Okay.
And then the other one is bind.
Okay.
And bind is a critter where you have to give it a monad. Let's call it a monad of values of type u.
Okay.
And you give it a function that will take a u and produce a monad of type v. And you give it these two things, and it will produce a monad of type v.
All
now,
right.
The intuition here is that if you start with some a container of u's, these are little members of the set u or the type u, and each u will produce a little monad of v's, and so on, each one, you know, doesn't matter how many, some of them will be empty.
Yep.
You and shove then, it through bind.
And then what we get is a flattened collection.
Yes. And it doesn't have the same number as this. Instead, it has the same number as adding up all of these
guys. And then this one is also interesting, the return. Because it has like a little bit of a strange name, because with return, you usually think that you kind of, you're done or you escape. But here you're kind of going in there. So the return is really kind of the thing
it's
that
trap.
Goes, it's trap. That kind of traps the movement and turns that into...
That's right. The value is the location on the mouse, on the table.
Exactly. And the outcomes here, like a... mouse move events with some location, and the location comes from this thing.
Right.
And the same with our other one. Here's the return. That's kind of, you know, this little thing here. Where's my... here we go.
Oh, yeah, that little guy.
That little guy. Now I need to... You know, there we go. See this little guy?
That's just like the light, isn't it?
Well, that's the little... hat, that kind of, you know, read-write hat, that's exactly,
takes
some
values and puts it in the database.
In the database.
Right.
So now we've seen, and look at this, there's another chip here. So this, let's say this is the return for the mouse, this came out of the mouse, and this is the return for the other database.
Okay, so where's the bind?
Where's the bind? So the bind is like, it's outside, that's where you query. The bind takes a stream of data.
So this little guy is your query,
because
this is a function.
Exactly.
This, we can see it in hardware.
Yep.
This guy's a piece of software that comes down the wire somewhere.
Yep.
Maybe in the pull-based one, it's something that you plug in between here and...
Yes, or it's in your computer, sense. In the software, yes.
You could imagine it lives in a dongle.
Yep.
If it were...
Yep.
And same, likewise here. It's just sort of in between the...
Yes, or this is like, you know, a big server rack, you know, in the cloud, you know, running there your query right
here.
Yes,
okay, so there's your query, there's your container, and there's your container.
Yes, so now, like, maybe we can look at some more operators. Like, for example, I want to filter, right? Because
yes.
That's what the other things, like, suppose that in here are, like, you know, our favorite songs, but, you know, Brian is, you know, Brian likes the songs from, I think, probably from the 50s. I like songs from the 80s. So what we want to do is we want to filter out, you know, songs that are stored on this disk.
That's songs from the 1350s for me. BC.
Okay. But look how beautiful the data is. Like, it's still there. It's like, can you see it?
Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere. It's durable.
Yes, durable. Yes.
Okay, and so
consistent.
A filter.
So how do we define a filter?
I will just improvise.
Yeah.
A filter has got to be a guy, a little critter. You give it a container of data.
Okay, yep.
Of type V, say.
Yep.
And you give it a function. You give it a function that can take a V.
Yep.
And tell me whether true or false.
Okay, so that's a predicate.
Yes. This is a predicate function. Not a predicate in the sense of prolog, which is another critter altogether.
Yes.
But now, when this predicate produces true,
yep.
Then I want to keep the V.
Yep.
And when it produces false, I just want it as if it were never there.
Exactly.
So the output has to be another M of V. It's another container of V's, but it's not the same. It's not
yep.
necessarily the same. It could be the same, but it's not necessarily.
Yep. Okay,
it will never be bigger, though. That's an interesting thing.
Yes.
Because if my function produced true for every single value, then it would be the same. If it produces even one false, it's smaller.
Yes. So now, can we define filter in terms of bind?
Now, let's see if we can do that.
Yes. Because this bind is like...
I'm
going to
do
like
it pictorially rather than symbolically.
Okay, good.
Let me change
but the
colors
bind,
here.
But the bind is like the magic operator. That's like the
bind is the mother of all operators.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
So now, pictorially, we said that a bind... let's see, I'm mixing my U's and V's here. A bind takes a monad of U's, and for each U, it will produce a monad of V's. But V can be the same as U.
Yep.
Now suppose that each monad produced by my particular query
yep.
either had one U in it
yep.
or no U's in it.
Okay.
Then I think I would have just simulated filter using bind, wouldn't I?
Yep.
Good.
So yeah, so we should be able to write it, right? So that's like, you know, let's see. So this, I know... Let's do it simpler, because
okay.
I like these kind of functions are a little bit kind of always like nasty.
Yeah.
Right? So now, and of course, this is like, you know, we always have to have some homework.
Right.
Because one of the things that we said here is that you apply the function when you do the bind to each of these elements, and then you get this collection. And then we waved our hands and said, now you flatten this
you
into
flatten
a single,
it exactly
single
once.
Collection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? So that thing is called, let's call it join, just to confuse everyone.
All right, good, yeah.
Okay. So join has type M, and I'll use V, and I use too many braces. M of V. Okay? So
good.
This is what it's doing. It's taking a nested collection. It's like a disk drive. Imagine that this disk drive would have kind of all kind of little disk drives, you know, that all these little, that data would be all...
A little miniature disk drive.
Yes,
yes.
That's kind of a little bit inconvenient mechanically. So what we want...
We fix it.
We fix it. So we say...
To fix up.
We fix it up and we give it one disk drive.
Now, in it's always the case that these two M's are the same.
And for all practical purposes
okay,
for us,
good,
it,
good.
It's fine. So now the homework is to kind of now define this thing in terms of bind and return.
Ah, very good.
So, but once we have that, now... Certain things are easier to express like this. For example, filter, what we can do is we can say this. Ah, and then we need another one.
We're going to do
like all the other ones. We're going to do homework. So now there's another one. It's called map.
Ah, yeah.
Okay. So what map does, it takes a database of V's. Sorry. Yep. A function from V to U.
Ah, yeah.
And it returns a database of use. So to kind of stay in the music analogy, so suppose I have my music here in FLAC, but mm-hmm. I'm cheap, I'm Dutch, so yeah. You know, FLAC is like, it's lossless, but you know, I want to turn it into MP3. So I have like a database full of FLAC, and I'm going to turn it into MP3s. Now I have a database full of MP3s.
Perfect.
So that's this map function.
And this is very similar looking to the bind. The only difference to bind was that bind had an MU there, didn't it?
Exactly.
So now we've given a hint.
For the homework.
A legitimate hint.
Yes. Good. All right, so now let's do the filter. Okay, so now filter. And now let's look, that took a, and let's call this MVs. Okay?
Good.
And it took a predicate P. Okay? So now what can we do? What can we do? We can say we do map of Vs. And what now? What do we do now? Is we get a V, and then we say, you know, if P of V, can you still see this, cameraman? Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Then we do return of V.
Yes.
And else we do the empty.
Yes, which we can always do.
Okay. So now if you do this, what we get now is, since this is a function from V to M of V, when we map it, the result is an M of M mm-hmm. of V.
Right.
And then we do dot R, well, and R.
We'll put the join on the outside.
On the outside.
Yeah, you can put it in the so dot now, afterwards or join it.
And so now I hope this is, everything is okay after I drank that acid, that my homework is still
the
correct.
Monsters of the id did come out,
yes,
didn't they?
Yeah. My handwriting is kind of, you know, is affected
a little bit.
It's kind of shady. Yes. But anyway, so that's where, you know.
That's it. And notice we didn't say anything about whether these are push or pull. Exactly the same math works if you're pushing data or if you're pulling data.
Yes.
One of the ways I like to say this is that a pull model is data distributed in space.
Yep.
And a push model is data distributed in time. Yes.
And so that would be a whole other black hole.
Oh, we got it. That's the physicist's analogy.
Yes, exactly. But the thing is, like, what the paper then explains is how you can kind of write queries over both pull and push data using the same mechanisms. So really, UI programming just becomes querying.
Yes.
Okay. So you can write queries. For example, if I want to kind of, you know, restrict my mouse moves to be in a certain quadrant, well, I just filter my mouse moves to say, you know, they must be, you know, in that part of the
screen. So you don't feedback anything to the rendering engine if the mouse goes outside the bounding box.
Exactly.
I see.
Yes, or maybe, you know, the when you do mouse clicks, you know, the mouse clicks gives position and all that other information. Maybe you're not interested in that. You just
you just want it to send you money. Click the mouse and send me money.
Exactly. Right. So that's where you use map, because now I get like something with mouse move events. I apply this transformation function and I get a new stream with modified events, money.
So that's why jQuery puts dollars everywhere.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. All right, so that was it. So I hope that you kind of enjoyed. And don't try this at home, super dangerous. You know, like dangerous chemicals.
Don't drink Kool-Aid.
Dangerous kind of, you know, glass and everything. You saw what happened to my gloves. And see you at our next installment. It's Brian's time now to write his second paper for ACMQ.
Oh, very good.
Yes. So, good. Till next time.